Starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Give you a couple of facts. A car traveling at about 20 miles an hour, which is the speed during that speed zone time, takes 40 feet to stop. That's not even accurate. Reality is there's a 1.5 second typical driver reaction time between the moment that they see something, they have to press the brakes, and then the vehicle stops. So that 40 feet kind of becomes 60, 69 feet very quickly. You go 11 miles an hour faster. And all of a sudden, instead of going 20 miles an hour, you're going 31 miles an hour. Now you're looking at almost 89 feet. And that doesn't include the moment that a driver has to recognize and make that stop as well. I think we realize that that stopping distance at 60 feet, 40 feet, 80 feet, 90 feet, when we're just talking about a 10, 11, or 15 mile overage, can become disastrous if there's a child in the way.
It's a lot of numbers for a Tuesday morning, Chief Frank. Okay, so here's what's going on. You have the city of Milton in what I would describe as not such a drama moment. I know there's sort of one coming. There's an entertaining version of this coming at 7 o'clock. But for now, here's what you need to know is that, you know, tonight we've got a city council meeting, and at the city council meeting tonight, they're going to take up the question of whether to authorize the chief to go talk to these, I don't know, four, five, six different companies that do speed enforcement in school zones with cameras in Milton. Now, John, as a resident of Milton for a long time.
I'm already shaking my head because
I can see it.
And you'd want to know why?
I think I know why, but I'm go on.
The city of Milton police officers, our first responders, are already there.
Right. That's right.
They're already there.
There's a cop at every school zone every morning and every afternoon with the blue lights on going, "Don't be a dummy."
Exactly.
And the question is, and here's, and also in the background is that Milton has a breakup with the cameras. Milton had red light cameras and does not anymore.
No.
Because, according to one description, Milton people don't like the invasion of the privacy, don't like the cameras, don't like the government, don't like the money, don't whatever. There's a whole bunch of reasons. So Gulf Breeze has cameras, has had them for a long time. Milton had cameras and said, "Oh hell no!" After a while, and Pensacola is still in the middle of the experiment, right? But this is a proposal for, and to be fair to Chief Frank, she is not saying, "Would you please give me the permission to put cameras in the school zones?"
What we're looking at is, I'm not coming before you today asking for an approval of an ordinance. I'm not coming to you today asking for us to choose a vendor. What I am coming to you today is to ask for approval to look at this, to really be able to study whether or not this is a significant safety issue in our community, and if so, how we can address it.
So she's not asking to do the thing. She's asking for permission to study the thing so that we can then decide whether there's even a problem and then to decide what to do about it. Because, look, if you go to a study and it turns out there's no speeding problem in school zones in Milton because the current police presence is working or because Miltonians are already super awesome and they always obey the speed limit.
We are.
I said it with no pause.
I know.
I said it with no chortle. I said...
A chortle?
Maybe it's true. And so she wants to look and see because she's heard anecdotal evidence and experienced it herself that, you know, this is not the way things are. It's no cost at all. There's no cost to the city. There's no cost for the study. And this is really about just excessive speeding in school zones in Milton.
Well, we recognize that at any given time, people go over the speed limit. I myself, chief of police, go over the speed limit at times. What are we focusing on? We're not talking about the person who goes over a few miles an hour, who's accidentally not paying attention and may exceed the speed limit by 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, even 10 miles an hour. What we're talking about is those excessive speeders. Individuals who go more than 11 miles an hour over the speed limit in a school zone during school hours.
So John is even more shaking his head. That's so funny to me. So first of all, the law. Let me ask you a question, John.
Yes,
sir. Do
you
know what the law is for issuing a speeding violation in the state of Florida? If the speed limit is, let's say, non-school related, just ordinary Stewart Street past the high school, okay? It's a 35-mile-an-hour zone. At what point can you get a ticket in the state of Florida? Can you get a ticket for 37?
No.
Can you get a ticket for 39?
No.
You're counting on your fingers. Can you get a ticket for 40?
No.
Can you get a ticket for 41?
Yes, our congressman proved that theory.
That's right. He got a ticket in Gulf Breeze for going 41. 41 on, right, Highway 98. So, yes, you can get a ticket legally in the state of Florida for being 6 over the limit, not 5. There's a literally, the statute literally reads, for speed exceeding the limit by 1 to 5 miles an hour, the fine is a warning. So technically, they can pull you over. You can get pulled over for 2 over, but they cannot write you a ticket. They can just waste your time. Okay, I mean, convey important safety data.
Exactly.
And encouragement to be a better driver to you.
I was going to say that too.
Right. I mean, all of our law enforcement friends would encourage me to say that, but they would all be smiling on the inside because they know it's also true. Because they're all real people. Like, you know, they know. It's at 6 miles an hour and over. By the way, I was surprised by this. Do you know what the fine is for a 6 to 9 mile an hour over violation by Florida statute?
$150.
$25.
That's it?
That's
it?
It seems like that can't be true, but it is literally in statute 318.18. It says nothing for 1 to 5, 6 to 9 is 25. At 10 plus, it gets to be 100, then 150, then 175, then 250 for excessive over 30 over. But I was surprised by that, too. I thought, $25? I mean, I might be willing to embrace it. Just kidding. Kidding. Mostly kidding. Anyway, so she wants to do a study. And now here's a second question. This is very important for this conversation.
Oh, no.
In the state of Florida, mm-hmm. in a school zone, which is usually 20, but oh, my God, there's one by my house that's 15 miles. And it's on a road that is, I've never in my life seen a kid on this road at school time. Like, it's just, it happens to be a road in the appropriate proximity to the school, but it is not the road where you need people to go slower. Now, they go too fast to begin with, so I can see it, but it's 15 miles an hour. 15 miles an hour is like, you just might as well put up a mobile home park around it. Like, it's just so slow. You know, is this a parking garage? I don't know. I mean, you know, mobile home parks, they always have like, the speed limit is 11 miles an hour. You know, like, it's always like that. Anyway, okay, so... If you're, it's 20 is more normal, okay? And it's on Stewart's 20 during high school, when kids are present. Not all the time, but in the morning and the afternoon, right? When kids are present. If you're going 26 miles an hour, 6 over, you can get a ticket, right?
Correct.
What about 23?
Oh, yeah.
What about a 22?
Oh, yeah.
What about 21?
Oh, yes.
Nice. I didn't know that. I thought that was probably true, and I always... In the school zone, you just do what you're supposed to do. It's like going through the base. You just do what you're supposed to do because different rules in the state of Florida.
Oh, yeah.
But that's correct. You can get a ticket at 21 in the school zone. It's in statute. It literally says it applies differently. Notwithstanding the prior paragraph I just read, a person cited for exceeding the speed limit by up to 5 miles an hour in a legally posted school zone will be fined $50. And school and other fines double. So, no, they're dead serious about in a school zone. So here's the thing. Going back to this conversation that's going to happen tonight in Milton. If you're going 31, she wants to study whether there's a problem. If there is a problem and they go with putting in cameras, the cameras will give you a ticket at 31. It will be monitored by like every cop has to put eyes on it. But, you know, eyes on approval of a speeding infraction is very easy, where eyes on approval of a red light infraction involves more work. I mean, is the car in the school zone? Are they going 31 or above? Done. There's a lot of judgment involved, or more judgment anyway, involved in the red light cameras. So, yeah, Milton PD is going to put their eyes on it and approve them if they wind up doing it. The money, basically, there's some money goes to the city. There's some money goes to the state. There's some money. And it's all for public safety. It'd be a $100 ticket. But, yeah, Milton PD eyeballs would be on it. And, you know, you can contest it online. It's all a local process. And the places where they have done it.
Does it work? Well, we might not know here in Milton, but I want to point out, we actually went back and spoke to each of those companies, and I said, prove it. If this works, I need to see the data. So they did. All five companies have between a 95 to 97% reduction in speeding violations in their school zone as a result of these. That tells us this is an effective deterrent.
That's pretty effective. I mean, if you're getting people to go the 20 miles an hour at a 95 to 97% rate, I mean, well, that's not quite the, what the word. Yeah, well, okay. I mean, you know, if you had 1,000 violations in the month, at the end of the month, they only had 30 to 50. That's a pretty good reduction. And
even more so, less than 10% of the civil tickets that were issued to the same driver more than one time. This tells us that we don't have a recidivism issue, that this is effective and it is going to make changes.
So when people get caught and they get a citation, they stop. Or they drive a different way. But either way, they don't do it again for the most part. So that's the plan. That's the proposal. What do you think city council did with this, John? Well, take a guess. You tell me. You live in Milton. We've got a, you know, very interesting city council at the moment. They don't squabble as much as the old city council every once in a while. But for the most part, they're more collegial than has been the case in the recent, you know, memory. I don't necessarily think that's good because I think some of the right voices went away and some of the wrong voices added on. But, you know, okay. Anyway, that's fine. You know, you elect your people. What do you think?
What they said?
Did they? And this is not the voting meeting. Tonight's the voting meeting to approve or disapprove the study in order to decide whether the data justifies going forward with having speed cameras when you already have blue light cops out in the median right now at every school zone in Milton. What do you think?
I would hope that they said no to the study.
No, they said hell yes.
What?
They said absolutely yes. They didn't, like, vote on it. At least I don't think that, because the vote is tonight. But the consensus was yes. Advance this to the city council meeting. 7-1 in favor. The only one who was against it was Robert Leake. And I will tell you in a preview of what's going to come at 7 o'clock, Robert Leake made what I can only describe as the most incoherent arguments against it that I have perhaps ever heard in a city council meeting. It was entertainingly bad. So, of course, that's coming up later. No, everybody else loves it. Mike Cusack, you know, grumpy old man Mike Cusack. Get off my lawn, Mike Cusack.
I think it's good. Your proactive nature is phenomenal. I think everybody here in the council agrees with that. And, you know, we're trying to, what's a kid's life worth, right? Can't put a price on it. Some kid gets run over across, you know, how the kids are, especially in a smaller school. You know, they dot out, you know, shoot out across the street not looking. I mean, I think this is a good thing. I'm all for it. You have my full support.
He's all for it. Casey Powell was, other than Robert Leake, the only one who raised a question, said, because the plan is to consider having enforcement during the, before, like the drop-off and the pickup, and also the rest of the day, but at 46, because the speed limit goes back up to 35 when kids aren't present. So it's not meant to be an overnight enforcement, but, like, and again, I'm just using Stewart Street because that's the easiest one that everybody understands. It'd be for 31 during the kids' present times. It'd be for 46 during the regular times during the school day, but not kids present, and the rest of the time it wouldn't be enforced at all. Casey Powell says, I don't know about that. It gives the impression that it's all about the money, which is, I mean, definitely what most people are going to say. I don't know that that's a fair criticism, but that is definitely what a lot of people are going to say. So, yeah, they're all in favor of it, except for Robert Leake. Robert Leake says, I've talked to people. People don't like it. I know Milton. People don't like it. But it's going to be interesting because in order to oppose it, you kind of got to sound like the guy who thinks we should be allowed to speed through the school zones, which is kind of what Robert Leake sounded like a little bit, you know? So I'm curious. And Heather Lindsay was the one who said, look, let's just have a study and see if there's a reason to continue. Maybe it turns out there's no reason to continue. But literally all the other ones who spoke all said, yeah, this is cool. I love it. There was one person in the audience who said, I don't want to become Great Britain. you know, and Jen Frank says, well, come, we're already there. There's like five cameras on you right now. There's cameras on you everywhere. You know, it's not really all that much of an argument. So it'll be interesting to see because, again, I think this has sort of sailed under the radar a little bit. I don't think anybody's reported on it. I mean, you know, in any of the news services that I'm a part of, I haven't seen any reporting on this. I just listened to the meetings and they talked about this and it's a big deal. I think some people in Milton knew about it, but I don't think anybody's really heard about it on the news. So tonight, you'll have a discussion about that. And again, this is not the decision about whether to put them in place. This is the decision about whether to study the infraction rate to decide whether to put them in place. Because they do not have good data for this. It has to do with a variety of the ways the data is collected. They don't really know how big the problem is. And that's what they want to find out. That's what she wants to find out. 525 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. That is a totally befuddled John Pickens. about this proposal.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, that's the nature of things. Hey, if you need work done inside your home on heating, air conditioning, electrical, plumbing, or you need, say, a generator put in, Peden, they can take care of you for that. They've been working in this area since 1969. They started in Panama City, and, you know, Robert Peden started the company, and then he started doing air conditioning and started to expand to heating and plumbing and electrical and generators along the way. And then, you know, of course, started to expand geographically. Now it's everywhere from Tallahassee all the way over to Mobile. So they can take care of you anywhere along the Gulf Coast. Good quality products, installation, 100% satisfaction guarantee. And at Peden right now, when you choose the repair that their professionals recommend, you know, you call them, they come out. Okay, there's a fee for them coming out. That's become kind of an industry norm. And they, you know, but if you have the repair done that they recommend, they'll waive that fee. The dispatch fee, they call it. Plus, you get a full year of Smart Care membership for free. So call or book online or find out more information at Peden, PEADEN.com.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick. And it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick. Soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
Pensacola knows the Blue Angels.
The Blue Angel, vertical!
We feel the thunder. We look to the sky. But the stories behind the blue and gold, those are just as breathtaking. Were they ever known as the Blue Lancers? Did air show lore really include dogfights with Japanese Zeros? And what happened the day Fat Albert became a hero over open water? Join us for the History of the Blue Angels, a special series that climbs through the myths, the milestones, and the moments that made America's Flight Demonstration Squadron a legend. Weekdays at 6:15 a.m. and 4:15 p.m. Now through November 14th, presented by our partners at Dale's Marine Construction, your Shoreline Solution Company, and Lambert's Moving Systems, moving the Gulf Coast forward for over 100 years. It's the History of the Blue Angels every weekday morning at 6:15 and afternoons at 4:15, right here on News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
An official message from Medicare.
Medicare plans change from one year to the next. And this year, it's important for you to review your current coverage and compare all your options during Medicare open enrollment. Compare health plans, drug coverage, and costs. See if you can save some money, and don't forget to make sure your drugs are covered. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
.528 at News Radio 92.3, and breaking news alert this morning, just seeing here on Fox News now. Former Vice President Dick Cheney has died at 84. This news just breaking this morning. There's
Really not much information available on this yet, but former Vice President Dick Cheney dead at 84. We will be following this news here throughout the morning.
All right. Thanks so much, David. I appreciate that. We're going to come back to you for other headlines. Did you have anything else for us?
Well, I certainly do. If you'll give me 1 second here to get to that page on my screen. There we go. Polls are opening today along the East Coast this hour, with today's elections being seen as a barometer of the 2026 midterms. Of course, the big race in New York City, their mayoral race, Democrat Socialist Zohran Mamdani maintaining a lead over Andrew Cuomo and Republican Curtis Sliwa there. Also, big elections in New Jersey, Virginia, and other states as well, including California, where they're going to vote on the redrawn congressional maps. Nashville judge is weighing whether to pause the National Guard's presence in Memphis. Arguments were being heard yesterday from Shelby County officials, including their Mayor Lee Harris and Governor Bill Lee. Yesterday, Mayor Harris's lawyers want a temporary injunction to end the National Guard's assignment there in Memphis.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Again, recapping, I'm sure you'll hear more from Fox in a moment, but former Vice President, former Chief of Staff Gerald Ford, former Secretary of Defense under President George H.W. Bush, Dick Cheney has passed away.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop. The polls are open in Virginia. Voters will send the first woman to the governor's mansion.
The Democrat in this race, former Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger, is seeking to return the governor's mansion to her party after 4 years of Governor Glenn Youngkin at the helm. Republican Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earl Sears to become his successor. So Earl Sears, if she is able to push past the lead in polling that Spanberger has held, she will become the first Black woman in the nation to lead a state.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff in Richmond. In New Jersey, Democrat Mikey Sherrill with a familiar rallying cry.
It's going to be a continued fight against Trump's vision in Washington.
Republican Jack Ciardarelli.
My opponent wants you to believe that it's President Trump's fault. If you get a flat tire tonight on the railroad, she's going to blame it on the president.
President Trump endorsed him. The shutdown reaches a record-tying 35 days. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531, News Radio 92.3, and right now we've got 42 degrees with clear skies here in Pensacola. Again, following this breaking news, per Fox News right now, reporting that former Vice President Dick Cheney has died at 84. We'll have more on that here throughout the morning, but that news just coming in, not a whole lot on that as of yet. Dozens of Escambia County residents have expressed support for a proposed ordinance aimed at preserving Navy Point Park as a public green space. Now, this ordinance will be voted on by the Escambia Board of Commissioners, and if approved, it would prohibit any future construction, including even docks and piers, and ensures that the park would remain under county stewardship. Commissioner Mike Kohler, District 2 Commissioner Mike Kohler, said he received over 30 emails advocating for protections for that park. The ordinance would stipulate that it could only be repealed by a unanimous vote of the Board of Commissioners. They'll be meeting Thursday. They'll discuss that ordinance, probably starting with the public forum at 4:30 p.m. that day. Bay Minette Police Chief Al Tolbert has reportedly resigned from his position. NBC 15 reporting that Tolbert was informed by the new Bay Minette Mayor Joshua Brown he would not be reappointed into the job. Tolbert had served as police chief there since 2017. Gulf Breeze Wildew awarded $45,000 in grants to support various community initiatives at their annual meeting over the weekend. This year's recipients include nearly $10,000 for training equipment for the Gulf Breeze High School baseball boosters, $5,000 for cat overpopulation control, $1,300 for outdoor learning space enhancements at Oriel Beach Elementary School. Other grants support educational programs, hardship services, and public safety initiatives, including AED purchases for the Gulf Breeze Police Department and Pensacola Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Women's Philanthropic Group has provided over $543,000 in funding since it was founded 11 years ago. Escambia County's begun distributing its property tax bills. News Radio's Chris Bryan says they went out last week.
Collections have begun for real estate and tangible personal property taxes in Escambia County. Escambia County Tax Collector Scott Lunsford confirmed this year's rolls consist of approximately 184,000 accounts, totaling over $526 million. Those bills, by the way, have been distributed for mailing. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Well, help may be coming to those without access to SNAP benefits in Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis announcing yesterday that the state agriculture department will step in, but he didn't offer specifics. DeSantis did say, though, that he would not be declaring an emergency or use emergency funds. DeSantis says Democrats have asked him to create his own SNAP program, but he says that they are the ones that are filibustering the federal program. Well, the FDA says six people have died. Dozens have been hospitalized due to a listeria outbreak linked to pre-cooked pasta meals. Now, this recall involves products from California-based Nate's Fine Foods. The cases of listeria have been reported in 18 states, including Florida. The meals were sold at Walmart and other nationwide grocery stores. Grocery chains, that is. Health officials are warning customers to check their freezers and the FDA website for more information on that. 535 at News Radio 92.3 right now, 42. We've got clear skies. And let's get a check on our Your Money Now on our pre-opening market update.
I'm Jim Chesko with Your Money Now. With its business continuing to grow in China, Starbucks announced that it's forming a joint venture with Boyu Capital to operate the company's locations there. That asset management firm will pay the Seattle-based coffee giant roughly $4 billion to own as much as 60% of the joint venture. Starbucks values its China business at more than $13 billion. Quarterly sales at Clorox tumbled 19% from the year-ago period, but still managed to slightly top analyst projections. Adjusted profit also beat. The cleaning products giant stock had fallen to a seven-year low in the Monday session, but are expected to open higher today. Meanwhile, Kimberly-Clark shares suffered their biggest one-day drop since the 1980s, 15%, after the Huggies diapers maker agreed to buy Kenvue. Shares in the Tylenol maker jumped 12% on the news. Wall Street futures are indicating a lower start to today's market session. The Dow Industrials yesterday lost 226 points. That's Your Money Now.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola. 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
Morning, 538 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And yesterday, we had a good chance, like we typically do on Monday, to talk with our friend and Congressman Jimmy Patronis for Florida's Northwest Florida District 1. We began the interview learning something super relevant and sort of funny about what Jimmy was doing during the time that we were talking, that I was talking with him yesterday morning. Jimmy Patronis, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Are you guys going? You're going back to DC later today, but you're still in district this morning.
Correct.
What are you up to?
Truthfully?
Yeah.
I am staring at my computer screen, watching it count down 15 minutes and 38 seconds because I'm doing modules for driving school for the speeding ticket I got from Gulf Breeze Police Department last week.
Oh, no.
I'm always going to shoot straight with you. Yeah, you know. And
how fast were you going?
I know he's doing his job. I'm doing six over. So
what? You got a ticket for six over? Well, I guess it's Gulf Breeze, man. You know, in GB, not FHP, but Gulf Breeze Police.
Yeah, and you know, now you got me on a soapbox. When I was in the legislature and when I was on the cabinet, I always said, you know what, we need to pass a policy that if law enforcement's going to get in the business of writing traffic citations, they've got to be clear and visible. Because if they're clear and visible, my sheriff taught me this years ago, you're affecting thousands of motorists every single day.
Right.
But when you hide out of this line of sight, it's like snipers, you know? I mean, you're taking out one at a time. What good are you doing by just ruining one person's day? Why don't you go and change the whole culture through that corridor and be visible? So anyway, you know, I've always said if you know, I was back in the legislature, I was going to change the law saying if you're going to write a citation, you got to be clearly marked and visible in order to write the citation.
No, I could not agree with you more. And partially because of the presence issue, the visibility issue creates a perception, and that perception winds up affecting people's behavior over time. I had when I used to be a terrible speeder as a kid, and now I'm just a mostly terrible speeder. But when I was a terrible speeder as a kid, I always thought that the hiding cop was particularly stupid because my theory was this. If I'm a good, aware driver, then I'm adapting to information. And if I know enough to slow down when I see a cop is up ahead, that means I'm an attentive driver. What you don't want to catch 100%. Is the, you don't want to catch the guy who slows down when he sees a cop, because that's like slowing down to see a slow car or a wreck or whatever. What you want to catch is the person who's oblivious to what's going on around them, the person who speeds right past the marked cop. That's the one you want to give a ticket to. So you're actually catching the least dangerous speeders when you're catching the one secretly, like you said, hiding out ones, the snipers.
So, Dad, when I used to ride home with Dad from work, you always used to listen to Paul Harvey in the afternoon, afternoon and the evening. And I'll never forget I must have been 10 years old. And he says, the best way to make everybody perfect drivers is make sure there's a cop in every rearview mirror. You know, I mean, and this is no different. You know, you want to change how people respect the road. If you're going to take the time to do traffic, be visible. Just be visible. You know what? Let's change everybody. It tamps down the road rage.
Yep.
It tamps down all this stuff.
Yeah, I'm actually just amazed that they got you for six over. Like, I know that's the law. Like, in Florida, you can be five over legally, but I'm just amazed that, you know, they sniped you at six. That's that's pretty ferocious. Wow. All right. Moving on to other things. I wanted to give you briefly an opportunity to talk about. I know you were passionate about keeping the air show. Of course, the base wound up announcing on Friday that the air show was canceled. For the homecoming air show, first time I can remember a homecoming show getting canceled. We did move the one to the beach during COVID and post terrorism. It was kind of a both, really. But any thoughts on this, or are we anywhere? I know you previously said it's going to be after tomorrow that we start to see some movement. Is that still what you think?
That's what I think. It seems like there's gossiping chatter amongst the offices that. The Senate is ready to come around. Look, they could not put any type of wet blanket over Democratic voter enthusiasm in the markets of Virginia, New York, and New Jersey. Simple as that. Nobody pays attention to elections, but if you go and you create a political spike in interest, it's like a government shutdown, and you combine that with those three states where potentially Democrats, which I think they probably will win the top ticket. It is what it is, you know?
You know,
it sucks. It's gross. But yeah. This is selfish in their practices.
You know, it's also going to be interesting to see how Trump reacts to the judicial, you know, what they told him to do on Friday. And now there's been some back and forth and when this is going to happen. Of course, you know, people, I tremendous sympathy for the people who are on SNAP or anything else that are not getting a paycheck. But I do think it's also a fair question to ask. But why do we have so many people on SNAP? You know, I mean, that's also a fair question to ask.
Well, here's the reality, you know. I really wish we had a bigger majority to do some of the things we need to do. We have to do things incrementally.
Yeah.
But with this shutdown, you know what? I've told people it's time to do a big postmortem. What elements of government has nobody even noticed were not functional?
Yeah.
You know, and let's start really reevaluating the need of whatever's been created for whatever reason at whatever chapter in our history, and just go revisit and see if this isn't already being done by the states or local government instead, you know, and just shut some buildings down.
You know, I know you and I've talked a little bit about this before, an effort to put an amendment in the Constitution to, you know, not pay members of the government while there's a shutdown. Somebody, I don't think this would happen, but I bet you get people to vote for it. I really would love to see a 28th Amendment come around next time, next election. But here's the version of this that somebody proposed to me. Make it so that anybody in government, when the government shuts down, even for a day, is ineligible for re-election the next election.
You probably would have difficulty getting that passed because of freedom of speech. Unless it you know, it automatically makes it a disqualifier of some sort. But I'm fine with that. But like I said, Ralph Norman's got the constitutional amendment bill. I think like 30 states have already ratified it, but I've signed on to it. Rick Scott's got it in the Senate. So, I mean, like I said, I'm not taking a paycheck. And as long as this government is shut down, I feel like we're not doing our job. Why should we be paid?
Right.
Now, I did a Grok search earlier this week to see how many others are doing. Nobody else is. I mean, there's literally like 10 other people in Congress that are foregoing their paycheck. But I still think it's – look, you know this. When I was at the restaurant business, only reason I got paid is because I showed up to work. If I wasn't at the restaurant, I didn't get paid. What's the difference?
Core principle, if you don't suffer the consequences of the bad decisions, you make worse decisions. You know, that's just a core principle.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. And to get back, you know, you asked about the Blue Angels. The one problem that's going to happen that bothers me is a number of these talented members of the Blue Angels team, they're going to miss their last show playing for the hometown crowd.
Yeah.
So that's another one of the more sensitive, you know, frustrations I've got that, you know, they call Pensacola their home and they take care of their families while these men and women are performing all over the United States. And, you know, and here, this is a special show for them too. And it's not going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I, half of the pilots transition off the team every year and, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
I wanted to switch gears just a little bit. Because you are on two committees, and you and I have not talked an awful lot about your work on these committees. Transportation Infrastructure and Small Business is the other one. And on the Small Business one, a story that's really gotten just like occasionally mentioned and talked about is the elimination of the penny. And what are you hearing? What are you seeing? How are businesses adapting to this? Is it a big deal for folks? Are they adapting easily, rounding up, rounding down? What, I mean, just you tell me, you're on this committee. What are you seeing?
I've always been okay with the idea and the concept of getting rid of the penny. You know, it costs more to make a penny than it's worth. You know, and you look at it as we're moving more and more to electronic forms of payment, then, you know, I'm sure we're minting fewer pennies today than we did 30 years ago. But, you know, again, I haven't heard a whole lot about it.
Okay.
It makes sense, but I think over like a 10-year span, you know, you save like, you know, $6 million. It's in the scheme of things, it's not a big number, but still, the old adage, if you take care of the pennies, the dollars will take care of themselves.
Yeah.
This is no, you know, if you start saving everywhere you can, I think we're better off as a fiduciary for our country.
Find a nickel, pick it up, and we'll be all nickel wise. I mean, you're going to have to change all of your sayings in the English language, right, if we don't have pennies. Hey,
funny you say about small business. So So the chairman of small business is Roger Williams, a former professional baseball player. Fun fact, Roger Williams is a member of Congress from Texas, and his godson is John Fay, who's running for the state House of Representatives.
Okay, former Blue Angel himself, right? Former XO,
of the Blue Angels. Yeah. Small world.
One of the bills that you have proposed is the Warrior Road Act. What does this do?
Yep. Again, trying to put more guardrails and priorities on dollars when the feds send money to the states, that we've got to put a higher priority on roads and infrastructure that lead into our military installations that also complement evacuation routes. So that's just, we're just putting more strings attached that if you're going to take federal money, states, you're going to have to make sure that our military are the priority when those dollars come in, if these are in your works program.
Okay, so this is like, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, Navy Boulevard, Gulf Beach Highway, Blue Angel, those are doing okay right now. But, you know, in like the stuff around Hurlburt, 98, like that would be the direct, the most closest impact in our area, right?
That's right. That's right. Okay. You know, and look, we also got to roll up our sleeves and work with the different branches of the military, because some of these, because of the heightened amount of security now that is going in and out of our bases, you know, it creates more of a thorough security checkpoint every time you go in. Well, this backs up traffic. So we're going to have to get relief from all sides. We want to take care of our men and women in uniform, but sometimes our installations are going to have to be more flexible with the real estate when we're willing to make those investments to help get their folks in safely.
The FAA, with the air traffic controller being affected by the shutdown, and they're working without pay, but they'll get paid later, assuming that'll all happen. By law,
they have to.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure out is there really a shortage? Is it really a problem? We're seeing airports have impacts. Is it because people are calling off sick when they just don't want to work? Like, you tell me. This is transportation infrastructure is your committee. You tell me what's going on.
It's all the above. You do have air traffic controllers calling in sick. You know, it's already been a stressful enough issue as we have a difficulty creating a robust pipeline of people that want to play in that occupation. Oh, by the way, we have 40-year-old architecture that they're working with. They're still working with paper strips. At the same time,
wait, is that true? Are they still pushing paper strips around some of these control towers?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yep. And okay. With the One Big Beautiful Bill, we put $15 billion in there for improvement air traffic control technology, and all those dollars are basically in paralysis because of the government shutdown.
Wow. I just figured that was certainly not true anymore. But I guess if we're using, you know, 1960s and 70s era technology in our missile silos, I suppose we could be using the same in our air traffic control towers. I mean, my God, that's just, wow. Okay, all right, you messed up my whole day. Now I got to think about that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to switch gears one last time before we let you go, because I know you care about these things. Who's going to replace Hugh Freeze at Auburn? It's gonna be Nick Saban.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that. Which it's crazy. It's crazy that they let him go. I mean, what's interesting? Have you noticed how many coaches we have had fired this year already?
Yeah.
I don't remember this many heads rolling this quickly into a season. And you know, I'm sure some of this has got to be triggered from these boosters raising ridiculous amounts of money for NIL, paying these huge contracts, and you got Sexton, who marries every contract of every coach that he represents, so they complement each other. So when you fire one, you know, the whole entire, you know, team and their children and their grandchildren all get some type of financial benefit from the university. I mean, it's all twisted. I mean, we need a reset to how college football is going, but it seems like right now it's like free will, you know, if the college trustees are willing to sign off on this ridiculous contract, you know, it's on them. But at the end of the day, there's still taxpayer dollars going to that university that affords them to do this. So.
Yeah, so it is. You're right. It's a weird situation having so many so-called free agents out there. You know, people who lost their jobs, and now there's a lot of sort of talent available. Anyway, Jimmy Patronis, he is our congressman for District 1 in Northwest Florida. By the way, I've been loving that Dark Ham interview podcast you did with News Service Florida. Very interesting stuff. I've been talking about that this morning as well, sir. We'll talk to you again next Monday. Thank you for the time. Enjoy the rest of your speeding remediation class and your trip up to D.C. this morning. I appreciate it.
It just hits 59 seconds left that I'm required to stay in this section. You know, thank you, Gulf Breeze.
Yeah, you got to spend it with me. Happy day. Jimmy, thanks for the time. Absolutely. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3. It's just so funny. Such a, you know you live in the panhandle when. if you've gotten a 6-mile-an-hour over ticket in Gulf Breeze. All right. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3. By the way, the breaking news that we just found out about maybe 20 minutes or so ago is that former Vice President Dick Cheney has passed away at the age of 84. Man, long serving. I mean, Secretary of Defense and White House Chief of Staff, and of course, 2 terms during W's presidency. He was the Vice President. So, again, a major leader in our country history and a major shaper of our country historically, including his influence on the war in Iraq and a whole bunch of other things, but has passed away at the age of 84. I'm Andrew McKay.
Dale's Marine Construction has been building high-quality waterfront structures in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties for 35 years, making Dale's Marine the leading marine contractor for seawall projects, riprap, docks, boathouses, and boatlifts. From planning and permitting through construction, the experienced foremen at Dale's Marine Construction are true craftsmen who do the job right. Get your dream waterfront installation started today and live the dock life with Dale's Marine Construction, proud sponsor of the Blue Angels.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from cosmetology and plumbing to nursing and aviation airframe mechanics. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. Go here. Get there.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in Thursday at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Listen, I know the wrestlers get all the fancy ladies and the clothes and the free creams and lotions. But my life is good. Really good.
Favorite part of that is listening to John say the quote word for word right along with it. My life is good. Really good. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. Sorry, I just love that song. That's the one I want by Van Halen. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. The government shutdown has now tied the record for longest shutdown in U.S. history. The Senate is set to vote again today for the 14th time to end the impasse. Senate Majority Leader John Thune does say he's optimistic that lawmakers will find a solution this week. Let's see here. People Magazine's 2025 Sexiest Man Alive has
John Pickens.
Named. How'd
Thank
you know?
About
breaking
time.
Right here today.
I know.
It is.
We entered in the much less talked about best dad bod category, by the way.
It is, by the way, a John, just unfortunately not John Pickens. It's Jonathan Bailey. And that Jonathan Bailey from Wicked and Bridgerton, whatever. I know what Wicked is.
Well,
I don't know what
right.
Bridgerton
I guess
is,
you got a show to get it. All right, fine, whatever.
So anyway, there you go.
Bridgerton is porn.
Whoa.
What?
Whoa.
Bridgerton is porn. Whoa. Bridgerton is euphoria for...
Hold on.
Like, whoa. Anyway, go on.
Well, what?
Okay, then. I don't know.
Please elaborate.
I have not.
It's
I,
only, it's, we've
I have
got
not
a
had to watch
left.
It because I'm aware. Anyway, go on. What else?
And Waymo is planning an expansion of its robo-taxi service to three more cities this year. They're going to launch in Detroit, Las Vegas, and San Diego in early 2026. And then the year after... they are potentially looking at expanding to South Florida.
All right. Very good, David. I mean, I literally, you know, double-checked myself just to be sure, and I looked up what's now in my history, Bridgerton porn.
On a company computer?
Oh, no, I don't use their computers. It's on my laptop through our Wi-Fi. Anyway.
And the sheriff will be in here a little later.
And the first thing that comes up is from Pornhub, Bridgerton sex scenes porn videos. Like, yeah, I mean, it's adult entertainment. It is like euphoria. I mean, it's...
That's a good promo for the sheriff coming in at 7:30.
Sure, whatever. You know. Okay. Yeah. There's no shortage of listings here. Let's just put it that way. All right. And that's why I'm like, who are you even talking about this? And I mean, I watch a lot of movies.
Well, you
TV.
Learn something
movies.
New every day, I suppose.
I guess so. All right. You never know what you're going to pick up on the could be an STD. gonna pick up listening to the morning show. Well, we're trying to be ahead of the curve. All right. What was I was going to tell you something, and now I can't even. It's completely escaped me. Blue Angels. This is kind of interesting. So the show has been canceled, but they're still practicing.
And their season's over,
unofficially,
right?
Even though the season's over. So I don't understand what's happening. I'm sure there's a reason. I don't know what it is, but that's where we're at. Because like they're doing these off-schedule practices, you know, Blue Angels Air Show practice information. They great Facebook page, by the way. You should follow them. They always know, and they practiced yesterday. Because you know, even after the announcement, the show wasn't happening. So just FYI, they may be practicing the rest of this week.